like to be recognized, or use the chat function. Colleagues, I am going to switch my video off just to preserve my struggling internet connection this morning. But I'm now going to ask that members of the Standing Committee please introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister, members, and support staff, departmental staff. This is Wendy Kaiser-Philander.
Good morning, Chair Khalil Barankesh. Good morning, all members.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the meeting and to the Minister. It's Member Makamba Botja. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson Lorraine Botja, and I'm alternate to this committee, standing in for Member McKenzie. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members, and welcome to Member Botja for joining the Social Development Gang this morning. I'm now going to hand over to the Minister and the HOD to introduce themselves and to introduce the department, please.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to the members of the Standing Committee, as well as to all the departmental staff. Thank you for affording us the opportunity to present ourselves, and I will immediately hand over to Dr. Robert MacDonald, the HOD for Social Development. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members of the Standing Committee, as well as the Minister and departmental officials and external stakeholders. I'm Robert MacDonald, Head of Social Development, and I will hand over to my team to introduce themselves, starting with Mr. Charles Jordan.
Good morning, Charles Jordan, Chief Director, Children, Families and ECDs. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. Honourable Chair, I'm Zandi Leo, Chief Director, Community and Partnership Development. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Anami van Rienen, Chief Director, Service Delivery Management and Coordination.
Good morning, everybody. Gavin Miller, Acting Chief Director of Business Planning and Strategy.
Good morning, everyone. Juan Smith, CFO for the department.
Good morning, everyone. Dan Boholi, Director of Finance.
Good morning, everyone. Glenn Starling, Director of Supply Chain and Asset Management.
Good morning, everyone. Leona Gwissen, Chief Director of Social Welfare and Restorative Services.
Good morning, everyone. Siam Iftakhdin, Director of Business Planning and Monitoring.
Good morning, ANC, honourable members and colleagues. I'm Ananda Nell. I'm the Head of Ministry. Thank you.
Good morning, MEC colleagues and members of the Provincial Parliament. I'm Joshua Jagomi, and I'm the media liaison for the MEC.
Thank you very much, colleagues, and a very warm welcome to our procedural officer, Ms. Nomonde Jamche, as well as our colleagues from the Western Cape Provincial Parliament's IT department. Colleagues, today we are here to deliberate the Western Cape Adjustments Appropriation Bill, B6 of 2021, and specifically we are here to discuss the Vote 7, Social Development. So what I'm going to do right away, we've got a short amount of time to get through quite a bit of information. I'm going to hand over to the Minister and to the HOD for any brief opening remarks that they'd like to make. And I'm going to ask that they keep that within a 5-minute slot because we've only got 45 minutes to conclude this meeting. So Minister Fernandez, over to you.
Chairperson, in the interest of time, I'm not even going to use a minute, other than to say that there are not a lot of shifts, so it will be a short, sharp session which Dr. MacDonald and our finance people will address if and when required. So we'll cut straight to the chase and actually hand over to Dr. MacDonald. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Through you, Chair. Just to say that we are in this adjustment budget, the most significant amounts are an additional amount that Treasury has made available of around 40 million rand, which is a contingency amount made available to the department for compensation of employees in the event that the national wage negotiations result in an outcome that has an increased financial implication for our department. Similar to many of the other larger departments in the province have also been given this additional allocation. So there's a 40 million contingency that we may end up not spending if that agreement is not reached nationally. So that is just something to watch. The other major or significant amount is approximately 17 million rand that has been made available in the form of a conditional grant to the department from the National Treasury, which is an additional allocation for the presidential stimulus, employment stimulus package, and for the ECD sector in the case of social development. So the additional 17 million is for beneficiaries in the ECD sector or ECD practitioners who have suffered losses of income during the COVID crisis. So those are the two largest amounts that have been added to the adjustment, and that's the background to those. There are a number of also of smaller allocations as well, which I'm sure we'll deal with later. So thank you very much, Chair. From my side, that's all.
Thank you very much, Dr. McDonald, and thank you to the Minister. Members, I'm also just going to highlight that this is an opportunity for members of the public to also engage on the budget, as this is a public participation process. So if there are any members of the public online, please indicate to the procedural officer if you would like to ask a question, and we will make some time available. Members, I'm now going to table the report from pages 147 to 160, and I'll allow you to pose your questions now. I'm also noting that pages 161 to 167 are the annexures, so you can ask questions on those pages as well. Colleagues, I'll start with Member Buerta while I wait for the other members.
Chairperson, thank you for affording me the opportunity. On page 160, I'd just like to ask the department in regard to the modification and customization of vehicles for the intellectual disabled children. I'd like to know who are the organizations that are benefiting from this, and is it across all districts? Thank you.
Colleagues, are there any other members who would like to go in that round? I didn't hear Member Bakubaku Force introduce herself earlier, but I'm sure she's online. But I'll give over to the department to answer that while we wait.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm inside and I would like to ask a question also. Thank you. I'm Bakubaku Force.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Member Bakubaku Force. Please go ahead and ask your question. I knew you had a question.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to go to page 147, Chairperson. It's a comment. I just want to say, while we welcome the increase, which is mainly additional funding from national government, as well as rollovers, I want to understand why the department shifted funds away to other departments when there is a need to protect frontline services. And my second question is on page 148. Also, with regards to the savings generated from compensation of employees, Chairperson. I would like to understand how many funded posts were not filled and reason, therefore. And in 149, I would like to ask what exactly is meant by change in operational activities and how did COVID-19 impact on the department activities and what is the total under expenditure due to this? And my last question, Chairperson, is on 140 in 1.2 corporate management services. I would like I know that 242,000 has been shifted for provision for write-off for bad debts. Can you provide more details and what are these debts? And my last question is 150 on 1.3 on the underspending. What is the number and details of posts affected by these exist and retirements? And how many posts were affected by these delays and reasons, therefore? And for those posts that were affected by the delays, why are funds moved away and not rolled over? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member Bakubaku Force. I'll now hand over to the department.
150 still 3.3 on the side. I want to ask that I know that the 44.6 million is reallocated on the correct program. Can the department provide more clarity on how this error occurred in the first place? Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for allowing me.
Okay, thank you very much, Member Bakubaku Force. I'll now hand over to the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the question from Honourable Member Buerta about the vehicles for children with intellectual disability, which organisations benefited and which districts are those in, I will ask Mr. Jordan to respond.
Thank you, HOD. Good morning, Honourable Members. Yes, the two vehicles have been handed over so far. That happened last month. So the one is in Beaufort West, it's the Masikola Daycare Center. And then the other one that received and handover was the Nomangabisu Center for Children of Special Needs, and that is in Philippi, a lower crossroad. So that's the first two that's been handed over. The purchasing of the other two vehicles is already on track. So yes, we are trying to give each district in the province, the organizations in each district actually do qualify and do receive a vehicle. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jordan. On the questions from Honourable Member Bakubaku Force about the reason why social development has shifted some funds away to other departments, I will ask the CFO to respond to that question. Thank you. CFO, are you with us?
Sorry, Chair. I just missed that for a moment. Can you just repeat that? Sorry.
Okay, thanks, CFO. The question from Honourable Member Bakubaku Force was why the DSD has shifted funds away from its own budget to that of other departments, given the need in the social development department.
Okay.
We're not doing it all over.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. The funds that were referred to, in my understanding, is the Department of the Premier that shifted some funds to our department, which is the 400,000. And that was so that we could finalize the ECD summit that took place a month or so ago in terms of that. There has been no other funds from our department that has been shifted elsewhere. The only internal major shift that we did do is when we shifted about 45 million from our sub-program childcare and protection to the sub-program Child Care and Services to Families within this adjustment budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CFO. While you're on the subject, there was a question from the Honourable Member Bakubakufos about the reallocation of the 44 million. Maybe you could just speak to why that occurred.
In terms of that, yes, mainly it's because of ensuring that we allocated all the funds under childcare and protection. And part of that had to go to the sub-program services families as well, to accommodate also for ECBindis, our drop-in centers, HIV and AIDS, and so forth. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CFO. So the reason the shift wasn't, or the reason that funding wasn't allocated early in the financial year, maybe you can just speak to that.
Chair, the allocation was not correctly allocated to that sub-program in the beginning of the financial year, and we then rectify that now, the adjustment budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CFO. The other question was there was some funding that we did pay to the Department of Health for the operational costs of running the Sivuyile facility on Stikland hospital premises. So there is some minor amounts that are shifted over to health for costs associated with the management and running of that DSD facility on there. On their facility site. The question related to how many funded posts were not filled and the reasons for not filling the posts, I will ask Ms. van Rienen whether she can shed some light on that. Also, I'll ask her to speak to the second last question from Honourable Member Bakubakufos, which was the question on the number and details of posts impacted by exits and retirements. And also the reasons around the delays, how many posts were affected by that and why the funds are moved away and not rolled over. I'll ask Ms. van Rienen to speak to those two questions. Thank you.
Thank you, HOD. Members, I think the biggest issue is currently with the filling of the vacancies that a lot of the internal staff members get promoted. By our recruitment and selection, and it's we call it promotions, but it's actually people have to apply for posts. So as a result of that, we're consistently facing a period. Say, for example, a person exit the post by the end of April or June, then obviously we need to advertise the post, and then the process more or less can take a minimum of 6 months. What we do to avoid this problem is the public service regulations allow us the leeway that a similar post which we've advertised can be used within 6 months to fill a vacancy. So despite utilizing those avenues to make sure that we shorten the period of the vacancies, there is still a period. What we've also is, as a department is struggling with, is in terms of the vetting procedure. That has changed. Previously, the Department of the Premier used an external service provider for the vetting. Now, in terms of the DPSA regulations, you need to use SACWA. It's more expensive for us to use that, and it takes longer now for us to fill the vacancies. I will provide in terms of the number, if I can remember correctly, as we stand now, we currently have around about 58 funded vacancies to fill. And then subsequent, we also had quite a large number of resignations the end of December for a certain period. What we also manage is to fill some of the social work vacancies by the social work graduates, which become permanent. And then obviously it's an exit on a contract side and an appointment on a permanent side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. van Rienen. And then the question from Honourable Member Bakabakaforce about what exactly is meant by the change in operational activities due to COVID and what was the impact of that. You will notice that there are several areas where the change in operational activities has resulted in relatively small amounts being shifted in the goods and services areas, sometimes not so small, but by and large, the amounts are ranging from 3,000 to a maximum of 627,000. Those shifts are resulting primarily from the fact that we have been delayed in being able to do on-site monitoring that was planned at NGOs by the departmental monitoring teams. So what happens is because the budgeted for the costs of traveling to the NGOs, as well as the costs of accommodation where long distances were covered and overnight stays were required, those kind of costs were not incurred as highly as expected during the year because of lockdowns or restrictions on visits requiring that those monitoring visits be put on hold. So it did push back our schedule of on-site monitoring, and that has had an impact on the expenditure. And so those funds have been reallocated. There's no underspend as such due to that, because obviously the funds have been reallocated to other purposes. I think that the one other area I would also indicate where we've had some underspending as well would be where there are group activities that had to be postponed, such as family sessions or family strengthening interventions and so on, with group work, which had to be also put on hold due to COVID restrictions. So those are the kind of operational activities that had to be either postponed or changed to telephonic engagements or done on MS Teams. So what happened then is that there's a saving on petrol, travel costs, also S&T claims from staff. The last question that I have here to be answered from Honourable Member Bakabakaforce is a question on corporate management, under corporate management rather, the 242,000 rand in bad debts written off, and some further details requested from that. I'll ask the CFO or his team to speak to that. CFO.
Thank you, HOD, through your chair. Yeah, those are some of the debts that we've also written off during this financial year, and that is mainly due to some of our GG vehicle accidents, where in some cases our staff were found negligent and they were disciplined. However, because they don't forfeit cover and therefore the amounts cannot be recovered, and hence we also have to write that off. Similarly, also with other losses that has incurred, that we have also went through the state attorney and also do some debt recovery, and where we have also been advised that it is not economical for us to proceed with that. A case or two about where the member or the debtor is deceased. Those are mainly our write-offs that we did during this year so far.
Thank you very much, CFO and Chairperson. That brings me to the end of the responses to the first round of questions.
Thank you very much, HOD. Member Bakabakaforce, I see your hand for a follow-up, and then I also see Member Windvogel. But first, Member Bakabakaforce. Member Bakabakaforce, you may go ahead. Okay, while we wait for Member Bakabakaforce, can Member Windvogel, can you then go ahead? And then after that will be Member Makamba Boitja.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. My question is on page 151, Chair. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I noted that over 9 million is made available for provision for additional funding requirements due to the 2021 wage due to the provision for the additional funding required due to the 2021 wage agreement. Can I ask why was this necessary when there is funding made available from the national government for this purpose? And then also on page 152, Chair, sub-program 1.1, Office of the MEC, what is the number of additional residents at CVE facility, and what is the total funding that has been made available for this purpose through this budget? Then the last one, Chair, is on page 154. Can you perhaps provide clarity and more details on this, and what caused the shortfall? Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member Makamba Boitja.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My first question is actually on the comment made by the HOD pertaining to the adjusted budget of 40 million, which is designated or flagged for contingency matters. He made a comment that funding might not be used. So my question is that, when does the department see fit to utilize funds allocated for contingency reasons? And my second question, Chair, is on page 165, table 7.9.4, regarding the appropriation on substance abuse, prevention and rehabilitation. So I want to know when is the 113 million plus that has been utilized actually spent on? Is it on NGOs or is it on a different matter? So I need to get that clarity. And then secondly, how successful is the department's plan to curb substance abuse since it is the concerning issue in the province currently? And then my last question is on page 166 regarding the money allocated for poverty alleviation and sustainable livelihoods. Where does the department spend this money to make sure that there is poverty alleviation in the province? Because the money that is being spent is actually spent on every day, but we still see people eating from the bins all over the province. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member Barnes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first question will be under the compensation of employees, the 40 million on page 152. What I wanted to know is that why we need the other shifts if we have 40 million from national government? Was that not enough? My second question is on page 157 under the economic classification. Actual expenditure for the first half of 2021-2022 financial year. What I want to know is that noting that the actual expenditure for the first half of this year is higher slightly than the higher of the expenditure for last year. I therefore just request clarity, Chair, from the department on the impact of COVID-19 on the department's performance required shifting of funds to other programs. My second question, Chair, is on page 159 under summary of receipts 7.6 table regarding the additional funding received. Is there any provision made for recruitment of unemployed social workers or graduates? My last question, Chair, it's on page 165 under substance abuse prevention and rehabilitation. What I want to know, Chair, what is the justification behind the budget cut for this program? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member Barnes. Member Bakubaku Force, are you back? Okay, we don't get anything from Member Bakubaku Force. I'm now going to hand over to the department for that round. And can I just ask that those hands that are up, can you please just lower them?
Say left and head.
Are you back, Member Bakubaku Force?
Because I could see that he didn't hear my questions, but fortunately you were there in the HOD. So you gave the right question that I asked because he was fumbling. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so your question is answered. Okay, thank you very much, Member Bakubaku Force. Member Bakubaku Force and Member Barnes, I'm going to lower your hands and then I'll hand over to the HOD and the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Speaking to Honourable Vint Voorkel's question, the wage agreement funds, why was it necessary for the funds to be made available when there was funds available from the national level? This 40 million is actually from the national allocations, or at least partly from the national allocations that comes to us via Treasury. So that is the money. Although the national treasury has indicated they can't fully, or they won't be fully covering the expected increase, but that's a matter for a discussion between the treasuries going forward. The question around the total number of additional residents at Siviile and the total amount of money made available, I will ask Ms. Huerson if she can advise on the additional numbers, although it may be that we're required to get that info for you in writing, but I'll ask Ms. Huerson if she can speak to that.
Thank you, HOD. It was 35 additional bed spaces. And of course, then we had to increase our nursing staff, care staff, cleaning services, and so forth. So it's about a 9 million increase.
Thank you very much, Ms. Huerson. Then the second question, the third question rather, from Honourable Member Vern Vogel, relates to page 154. What the cause of the shortfall there. I'll ask the CFO to speak to that.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yes, in terms of that shortfall, as mentioned previously, the underspending due to the COVID pandemic due to change in operational activities. HOD has also spoken to that extensively. So it's the underspend that was realized through no S&T or less S&T training that was provided using the MSS platforms to do that type of communication and not doing monitoring face-to-face in terms of that. So generally, because of the pandemic, we would then realize such savings due to not spending those funds due to the pandemic. And we then moved it to the substance abuse program as indicated there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO. And then regarding Honourable Member Borchia's question, the question about that additional 40 million, and if we do get to a point where it's not utilised, will we use it for contingencies? The answer to that is no, we are not permitted to do so. That is ring-fenced funding. Treasury has ring-fenced it for compensation of employees only. So if it isn't used for compensation of employees, then it will have to be submitted back to Treasury at the end of the financial year for use in the new financial year, as and when the wage agreement kicks in. One must also remember that usually if there's a wage agreement delayed, that when the agreement kicks in, it then has retrospective effect. So that 40 million might then be retrospectively required for back pay to the public servants, in which instance then that funding would have to be used to cover whatever lump sum amount needs to be paid in addition to the ongoing cost of the additional amounts added to the salaries. So either way, that 40 million will end up having to be used in all likelihood, if not this financial year, then the next. The second question from Honourable Member Boccia regarding the use of the approximately 130 million for substance abuse programs on page 154. That sum of funding is funds that are used for funding of NGOs that provide substance abuse treatment and related services. The question about how successful the Department of Social Development's work is in terms of curbing addiction, I think there's been quite a few evaluations that have been done and that are still underway into the rehabilitation programs offered in the province. There are some programs that have a highly successful rate of treatment, up to anywhere from 65% upward success rate in terms of people managing to remain off drugs indefinitely. But given the nature of addiction, the science tells us that that in most instances, people who are suffering from severe addiction will relapse and they will need to go back to rehabilitation. It's more of an iterative process, so it's not necessarily an indication of failure if someone goes to treatment and then relapses, because what tends to happen is that when they go back into treatment again, they are slightly more resilient each time, and they work towards becoming fully recovered from addiction. So I think the way to measure this is generally to look at the harm reduction effects of substance abuse over time, and to look at how people who go through treatment are able to fare after having had the intervention. And that's what the longitudinal studies are looking at in terms of the efficacy of the treatment programs. So in terms of the how effective the work is, it would really it is a difficult question to answer in any simple way, other than to say that the number of people that are going through our programs at the moment has been reduced due to the COVID pandemic making many people reluctant to go for treatment. So we have had lower numbers than usual in our treatment programs for for this year, which we've tried to alleviate by either reducing the bed spaces and saving some money for the future when the demand increases again, or through shifting funds to where there's more demand. So it's a difficult situation at the moment. We do think that we will see the demand recover for the treatment services, and that we will find people coming back again. But at the moment, unfortunately, a lot of people are staying away due to fear of being in rehab and catching COVID due to the fact that you're in a residential facility or you're in a group setting. So in terms of the impact on the substance abuse in the province, I think there's thousands of people who will attest to the benefit that they've derived from these programs. But at the same time, the challenge remains big. There's always new generations growing up who are exposed to the opportunity to access substances, particularly alcohol, so it remains an ongoing process. It's not something that will ever be over or finished. The question from Honourable Member Boccia about poverty alleviation and where social development is spending the funds. I think we can provide the Standing Committee with the information on where the food relief efforts are being directed, as well as where the other related programs like EPWP are targeted. However, there are, I think, a number of other organizations in the private sector, the NGO sector, that are also providing food relief alongside social development. And then, of course, there are the COVID grants that SASA is paying out. And then municipalities are also participating and carrying out their own food relief as well. So there is widespread food relief being made available. However, yes, there are people who are still engaging in waste picking. And that's not necessarily only for food, also to find recyclables or things that can be sold. That is also a factor. But I do know that there is, broadly speaking, availability of food relief in the city center areas and so on that can be accessed at the shelters and also at feeding sites. So accessibility of food relief is more of a concern in the rural areas than it is in the urban centers. And I think that that's where we've also been concentrating, particularly in the agricultural areas where farm workers have lost jobs and so on. But we can provide more detail, but obviously there's a few hundred sites, so we wouldn't be able to speak to all of the sites now, but it's safe to say that we provide food relief in every district of the province and in most centres and wherever we pick up the need. In terms of the question from Honourable Member Barnes on the compensation on page 152, given that we've got the 40 million additional Y other shifts, I'll ask the CFO maybe just to speak to that question. I'll also ask the CFO to speak to the question around the actual expenditure and the impact on expenditure from COVID by this time this year versus last year. And then I'll continue after that. CFO, can you deal with those two questions? Thank you.
Thank you, HOD, through your chair. Yes, in terms of the COE expenditure and the move and the net effect thereof, what we need to understand is that we receive 40 million in the adjustment budget. However, we had to pay out those salary increases in the meantime. So that left us with almost like 30 million that we went over our budget. And then also in terms of the staff exits, the internal promotions, and all those things that also occurred during the first half of this financial year, resulted in a net saving of about 10.9 million. And that is the funding that we then shifted to the various programs to augment the increases of the salaries, etc. And also to accommodate some of those other spending that we also made provision for. So in a nutshell, the net effect thereof was a saving that we could then also shift further into the department itself, together with the 40 million that we received. The question on the expenditure for the first half of last year versus this year, which correctly has been indicated as slightly higher this financial year. And again, if we look on page 157, mainly the explanations there for the lower spending is due to the COVID pandemic. And again, it's about less traveling, less training, less monitoring face-to-face and so forth. That was expenditure that was not incurred in that latter part of last year, where it was lower and slower spending that occurred during that year. And that was mainly the reason for our increased spending in this financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CFO. The question from Honourable Member Barnes about the additional provision for unemployed social work graduates. I will ask Ms. van Rienen to speak to that briefly.
Thank you, HOD. Members, we have managed to, as at the end of September, to appoint an additional of 145 social work graduates, taking from our current backlog of unemployment social workers of 339. We got earmark funding for 37, and then from our own compensation, we managed to then have a total of 145 to address the service delivery needs. Thank you, Ajudi.
Thank you very much, Mrs. van Rienen. And then the last question from Honourable Member Barnes was around the reason for budget cuts on one of the programs. I just wanted to ask maybe if the Chair or the Honourable Member can just clarify which program, because the signal cut out for a second on my side, I think. So which program was the question relating to?
Member, can you just clarify your question?
Sorry, HOD, it was substance abuse, I believe.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, CFO. Then maybe I'll ask Ms. Huysen to respond to that. Thank you.
HOD, there was some breaking in services by the universities which led to a reduction in certain service delivery by the universities.
Thank you very much, Ms. Huysen. So it was on the some of the training programs were put on hold. Is that correct? So due to the COVID impact. Is that correct, Ms. Huysen? Okay, I think Ms. Huysen's gone off there. But the university program being referred to, the department funds training for addictions treatment professionals.
Yes, that's
in the
actually.
And that was delayed due to the COVID lockdown. Thanks, thanks, Ms. Huysen. That is all the questions that I have, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, HOD and colleagues from the department. Members, I'm now going to ask if there's any members of the public that would like to pose a question. And Namonde, did you receive any request?
No, Chair, nothing.
Okay. And then I'm now going to ask if the Minister and the HOD would like to make any closing remarks, please.
Chairperson, I'm not sure which order you'd like us to go.
You may proceed, Rob, and then I'll close. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Okay, so from my side, just to say thank you very much to the members of the Standing Committee, as well as to the departmental team, and to you, Chair. I think it's a fairly straightforward adjustment, but I do want to flag the fact that there is potential for underspend given the way that funds have been allocated, and therefore we may be reaching the end of the financial year with higher underspend than usual, given the contingency amounts that have been placed here. Also, given that the provincial Treasury is looking at ring fencing ECD funds so that any underspending in due to ECD closures or any underspending in any other areas of the ECD program also be ring fenced, so that we can roll it over to education in the new financial year with the function shift. So the function shift of ECD may affect our final expenditure on ECD, because they're normally where we may reallocate some of the funding from ECD to other programs if we we do end up with under expenditure, which we normally do, because there are always ECDs that are either closing or that are half closing and then not spending all of the funds, we may end up with some underspending on the ECD side. And that would then be given to education, because next year they are facing quite a challenge with the budget cuts and any funds that Treasury can get to help them deal with those budget cuts, Treasury is going to try to obtain. So we are in discussions with Treasury about how best to deal with it. But the same goes for the compensation, 40 million. If the agreements are not settled by the end of the financial year, that 40 million will also then have to be surrendered. It will also be underspending. So that's just something to alert the committee to. Thank you.
Chair, may I proceed?
Yes, you may, Minister.
Firstly, I'd like to say thank you to you as the Honourable Chair and all the Honourable Members of the Standing Committee. Our engagements have always been robust. The questions get asked and we try and provide the answers as best we can. I'd also like to say thank you to Ms. Chamsi for her role as the coordinator. It has been a difficult year, and as you might know and just heard Dr. MacDonald say, the ECD function shift happens on the 1st of April, and everything ECD related, including the budget, will be carried over to the Western Cape Education Department. So we expect that there will be some kind of underspend in that area. The other topics have been covered. The biggest challenge, I think, is the wage negotiations, which have been covered. But in closing, Chair, I would like to just say thank you to Team DSD under Dr. MacDonald's leadership and that of the CFO and Team Finance. They have really had to juggle and deal with three adjustments, so it has not been an easy year. And the impact of COVID has seen us reducing certain programs during a hard lockdown, and so it has definitely affected our numbers. However, the department has earned itself a clean audit, which I know is not the sole indicator, but it is an indication of good governance and financial management. So I do want to say thank you to every single member of Team DSD, and that includes the entire team of just over 2,500 people who render a service to nearly close on to 7 million people across this province. And I want to say thank you to you for your support and wish the committee well for the festive season. And hopefully we'll come back refreshed and anew in 2022. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you to Dr. MacDonald and all of our DSD colleagues, both the ones who join us at the Standing Committee and all of those scattered across the province, making sure that the most vulnerable are looked after. I'm now going to ask our colleagues from DSD to, you may exit the meeting, and the committee will then deal with its committee business in the last few minutes that we have.
Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
Thank you, Chairperson. Goodbye.
Thank you, Chair. The HOD. Bye. Enjoy the season.
Thank you very much, members. Colleagues, I'm now going to ask if there are any specific resolutions that you'd like us to note post this meeting.
Chairperson, may I?
Yes, Member Porter.
Chair, I was not absolutely satisfied with that list of NGOs who benefited in regard to the intellectual disabled children. So I'd like to request a list of beneficiaries. Thank you.
Thank you. We will note that, and we'll ask for a list on the Monday to be provided to the committee. I see Member Bakubaku Force and then Member Makamba Boicha.
Yes, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to second the previous speaker, but Chairperson, I came in late. I'm not sure now, even if I will be out of order regarding the when it comes to the what do you call it? But it concerns the feeding schemes, Chairperson, all the NPOs in the Western Cape. You know, as we are doing oversight, even in the areas that we are residing at, we see things. People during the year, they get food, yes, from those soup kitchen of DSTs. But I think when they spend less money from their activities, they must consider to make sure that those people who are eating from soup kitchens and everything, they need at least to get in December food parcels so that they can sustain themselves until January. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Bakubaku. Of course, so that would be that the department should consider adjusting savings from other activities into food support programs during the December period. Thank you very much for that. Member Makamba Bocha.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My request is actually, I think that HOD have offered to supply us with a list of centers or sites that benefited on the programs of food alleviation. So can we get that information? And then secondly, I'm not sure if this can be done in writing. I wanted to ask the department, I would like to know or get information of what constitutes that 40 million of the that is flagged for adjusted budget of contingency. He had made mention of the fact that it will only be used when there's wage negotiations. So I want to know, is it only limited for that particular aspect, or does it constitute other aspects under the umbrella of employees? Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if I'm clear with that. Thanks.
No, I completely understand. The way I understand it, across the government, it's the money that Treasury has put aside only for the wage negotiations. So if it goes in the favour of the employees, that they get an increase, that money will then be used. If they don't get an increase, I think the money will be taken back. But we can ask for that clarity. I think that would be useful. And then I see Member Barnes, Member Brunkes, Member Philander.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on the underspending of the ECDs that will be shifted now later next year to education. I'm of the view that, Chair, that there are so many creches suffering, and yeah, like, you can never say there's enough, they're struggling. What I want to know, if maybe they can give us, suppliers, a list of all beneficiaries from ECD who's benefiting, because there's no way that you can say that ECDs are having enough while some are closing and then shifting. If we can just see who is benefiting and where, because I'm of the opinion that there's so many that are in need that are not getting or knowing how to get it. If we can just get where is it happening, please, Jay. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Philander.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine will be on the delays of the filling of vacancies. Chairperson, and if I understood the department correctly, they said it can take up to 6 months to fill a vacancy, but they've also built in mechanisms to streamline the recruitment and selection process. Now, Chairperson, is it possible for us to get a list of those vacancies, especially those of social workers across the Western Cape, and in which districts those vacancies occurs? But if the department can also give us sort of a layout of once a position becomes vacant, what is the due process that are followed accordingly? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Member Brunkes, did you also have your hand up?
Yes. Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, in terms of resolutions, can we get an indication from the social committee if they are willing to work together with the in a cluster form with the Education Committee on an international educational visit for next year? If we can get an indication from the Social Committee in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member. We've already made that resolution about a year ago, but we can revisit that. I see Member Boita and Member Windvogel.
Chair, thank you for your indulgence. I just want to add, in this case, just to follow the money on that children and families program three. And it was program two, Chair, in regard to our cluster visit, whether we could follow up, follow that money as to in the district where we are going to do our cluster visit, whether we could follow on where it happened. Thanks.
Perfect. Akbar van Hoogel.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Verskoon maar as ek weer iewers by te orde is, Chair, perhaps I missed that part. Mine is on the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative. I want to know the positions that was created extra hands on this program. Where in which is the rural areas also included, and how many was what do you call it? How veel was aangesteld in die rural areas? So ek weet nou nie, Chair, jy moet maar guidance gee daar, asseblief.
Dit het maak sin, ons kan vra vir hulle om ons lys te gee van die posisies en ook waar in die Weskaap is, in die verskillende distrikte. Colleagues, with that, I'm now going to ask Nomonde to beam up our committee report. And I'm going to just ask you, in terms of the budget vote that was just deliberated upon. And I want to ask that I don't see. Nomonde, can you pop the report on? So, members, the report would be that the report of the Standing Committee on Social Development, Vote 7, Social Development in the Schedule of the Western Cape Adjustments Appropriation Bill B6-2021, dated 7 December, that the Standing Committee on Social Development, having deliberated on the subject of Vote 7, Social Development in the Schedule to the Western Cape Adjustments Appropriation Bill B6-2021, refer to it in accordance with Standing Rule 188, reports that the committee either supports or does not support the vote, refer to it. Can I ask for the members here whether the members support? I see Member Philander.
Chairperson, I wish to express my support in respect of vote 7.
Thank you very much. Member Buerta.
Support the proposal of Member Philander that the committee supports. Thanks.
Okay, and then I also see Member Paco Paco Force and then Member Van Vogel.
I'm so late, Chairperson. I think you saw my hand late because I wanted to give input that when I already sent some proposal from to Nomonde for our next oversight, but I would like to include the Haven shelter that is here in Cape Town when we are doing our oversight again.
Okay, we'll include that. Member Van Vogel?
Chair, yeah. I think, I'm not sure if Mama Paco Force is going to touch on that, but we will, our minority view, we will not support
the budget. We are not supporting the budget, Chairperson, based on certain things that we're inquiring. Hence, there are good side from the DSP, but there is some bad side that it gives us eyebrows. That's why we are not supporting the budget. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, colleagues. So then our report will read that the report on the Standing Committee on Social Development, Vote 7, in the schedule to the Western Cape Adjustments Appropriation Bill B6-2021, dated 7 December 2021, reads as follows, that the Standing Committee on Social Development, having deliberated on the subject of Vote 7, Social Development in the schedule to the Western Cape Adjustments Appropriation Bill B6-2021, refer to it in accordance with Standing Rule 188, reports that the committee supports the vote referred to it. In terms of Standing Rule 90, the African National Congress expressed its minority view to not support the vote.
Member Brinkes here.
Yes,
Rahul Jamal, also we want to state that we don't support the budget.
Okay, so Al Jamaa is also expressing its minority view.
My chairperson, I'm sorry to interject. EFF also must be included in that. Thank you.
That you support or that you're expressing a minority view, Member Makamba Poja?
I'm expressing the minority view, chairperson.
Okay, I'm just checking. I have to be thorough.
I'll check.
The EFF did in secret. So we must just be careful. Nomonde, did I capture that correctly? Nomonde is just struggling with the spelling of Al Jamaa.
Yo, these are coming my paper. Who called the one in that thing?
Member Makamba Pocha and Member Branka, Makamba Pocha, Member Paco Baku Force, we are still in the meeting. Member Windvogel, I see your hand.
It's old and previous end chair.
Okay.
Let me just lower my hand. There you go. Oh, not.
No more here.
Hi, Chair.
Did I cover everything?
Yes. I think now we need to adopt. The committee needs to adopt the report.
Okay, can we just beam the report up there as well?
I'm so sorry.
I think one of the resolutions we have to take as a committee is to give Nomonde a holiday. I was reading through some of the notes she sent me, and I had to quickly change the wording while I was reading it, because I think we've overworked Nomonde with COVID and with social development, because she's doing too much work for health and social development. Nomonde, do you want me to pop it up, or are you?
It is on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Just the latter part must be changed.
Okay, so Nomonde, we're just changing, we're adding to the A Al Jamaa, so it's AL.
So it should read African National Congress, comma, Al Jamaa and Economic Freedom Fighters.
Yeah, and I think there's a, what is this thing called? I don't know the name of this punctuation, but there's a little streepie between the last A and the H. So there needs to be a little dash between.
Nomonde, take the and out between African National Congress and Al Jamaa. Take that out completely.
Sorry, members, when it comes into voting, only the permanent members of the committee have the power to vote. So Member Makamba Poja is an alternate, but not a permanent member. So Member Baku Baku can vote. And in her absence, if there is Member Windvogel or Member Pans, they can vote on Member Pakupaku's place, and Member Brinkhaze, if he's not around, and Member Makamba Poja has got a proxy of Member Brinkhaze, then Makamba Poja can vote. That is why I'm not registering that input of the EFF.
Okay. So the report then, members, as it is on the screen, is that the Standing Committee on Social Development, having deliberated on the subject of vote 7, social development in the standing to the Western Cape, in the schedule to the Western Cape Adjustments Appropriation Bill B6 of 2021, referred to it in accordance with Standing Rule 188, reports that it supports the vote. In terms of Standing Rule 90, the African National Congress and Al-Jamaa expressed the minority view not to support the vote. Members, that is the report. Can I get a proposer?
Sorry, Chair, Mav is Member Barangays here. Our name Al-Jamaa is still spelled wrong.
Okay. Nomonde, can you just add a dash between the after the M? So the last A and the H, there needs to be a dash there. It's Al-Jamaa.
No, no, it's not Al-Jamaa, it is Al-Jamaa.
Al-Jamaa. Okay, we've got that.
H, yes. Thank you very much, Chair.
That's a pleasure. A member Philander?
Chairperson, I wish to propose that we adopt the report.
Thank you very much. May I have a seconder?
A second.
Thank you very much, Member Buerta. And don't worry, Member Brankais, before I sign the report, I will make sure that your name is correct.
Thank you very much, Chair.
I will Google it and I'll also learn the pronunciation.
Yes, many of the DA members, they pronounce our name as Al-Jamaa. It is not Al-Jamaa. It is Al-Jamaa.
Thank you. Yes. We don't see enough of your posters on the polls. But colleagues, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. We've gone slightly over time. I wish you all good luck with the next few days, and I'll see you all in the House for the various debates and discussions. And as always, it's a pleasure working with you. Nomonde, thank you very much to you as well for all your hard work.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Our legal team would, of course, engage so that we can take steps to review that administrative action of refusing to act against the officials. On the NPA matters, Honorable Mente, we really do our best, and our best is done within the MOU that we have signed with NPA. In that MOU, there's a requirement that the both teams have to review all the cases that we have referred and review where they are, what is it that the NPA still requires from our side. If there is still further evidence that they require, we'll probably provide it. But what has happened as a practice is that where there's further evidence required, the NPA would refer the matters to the DPCI. But in that regard, we have decided now to bring the DPCI into the MOU so that they also receive this. We copy them on the referrals to the NPA so that by law, we comply with the law and refer to NPA. We copy DPCI because there's an administrative process of opening a docket, a case number, and all of that, so that NPA would be satisfied that all of those have been done. And if there's a need for any further evidence that's required, we work closely with the DPCI to make sure that we provide NPA with all what they need. So we then, of course, provide all that and then require NPA apparently to make the decision ultimately. As we have indicated, there's various updates in those matters that we have received, but we'll continue to follow up in the context of the MOU that we have. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. All right, Honorable Hadebe with an H.
Thank you, Chair.
In welcoming the report, Chair, and the progress made thus far, one is also concerned, Chair. HOU, I was the one who raises issues and concern in relation to the prolonged time it takes to conclude these administrative issues in relation to referrals for blacklisting, Chair. And the report today still paints a very bleak picture. Chair, you have instances of referrals that were referred November 2020. We are in December 2021, a year and a month now. All what you get is that SAPRA has confirmed receipt of referral and they are under consideration. I don't understand, Chair, that to investigate the matter and arrive at the conclusion will take less time than to consider the matter for blacklisting. There has to be a fundamental a stumbling block that we need to be aware of, which made this consideration to take more than a year. It can't take less time to investigate and take more time to consider whether or not to blacklist. HOU, what is it that they are considering that we don't know? We're talking a grand total of 274 referrals. 13 months to date, we are still told what we were told in September, in June, that the matters are under consideration. It can be, Chair. Are these companies still continuing submitting bid proposals? Are they still benefiting from the state? Are they still getting considered as future and new projects are unfolding? Can we get that report? Perhaps that could also assist. Is there no way of ensuring that while you are dealing with this consideration, I know the principle